As you can see on the outline, tonight we're considering the subject, Remember the Sabbath, which is the fourth commandment. And this evening we will largely be letting the text of Scripture speak. We're going to read quite a few of the what would be considered the proof texts that are appended to the shorter catechism as it deals with the fourth commandment. And so we're just going to be reading through a variety of passages of Scripture tonight. And then what we're going to do is allow the catechism to provide something of a commentary on those passages that we've been reading here this evening. And so without further ado, I want us to hear now from God's word on the subject of the Sabbath. And I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5 to begin tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verses 12 through 15. Many more passages we could read, but these few will be what we'll use this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Again, let's give our careful and prayerful and thoughtful attention to God's word as we hear it tonight. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. And I'd like you to turn forward now to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. Verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And now turn forward to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 and 23, prophecy of our day. Isaiah is prophesying of the future here, the messianic age which we live in. Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. And let's turn all the way to the New Testament now, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 3. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And I'd like you to turn forward now to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. And let's turn forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 1 and just the beginning of verse 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of the week, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up. And let's turn finally to the final book of our Bibles, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom, and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. And we're going to end our Bible readings at that point. And now, in light of those passages, I want us to consider now the following comments that we have in our shorter catechism. And again, it's going to be difficult to listen to me read those, so I hope you have a copy of the outline in front of you so that you can follow along as I read. Question 57, and I want you to think about these questions and answers in light of some of the passages that we've just finished reading. Question 57, which is the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Question 58, what is required in the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment requireth the keeping holy to God such set times as he hath appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven to be a holy Sabbath to himself. Question 59, which day of the seven hath God appointed to be the weekly Sabbath? From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. Question 60. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as it to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. Question 61, what is forbidden in the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, and the profaning of the day by idleness, or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. And finally, question 62. What are the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment? The reasons annexed to the fourth commandment are God's allowing us 6 days of the week for our own employments, His challenging a special propriety in the seventh, His own example, and His blessing the Sabbath day. Now, I want to ask you this evening how you feel about those statements in light of what we have read in the Scriptures. When I say I want to ask you how you feel, I'm not asking you to start yelling out your thoughts and feelings out loud, but I want to probe a bit this evening and ask you to reflect upon both the passages that we read and these comments here in the Catechism. And first off, I want you to honestly consider the question that I mangled as far as grammar goes. Is this standard too high? As you think about that, let me remind you, our catechism says that the Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are or that are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercise of God's worship, except if you're doing works of necessity and mercy. And remember that it also forbids the omission or careless performance of those duties that we just mentioned, and the profaning of the day by idleness or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, and deeds about our worldly employments or recreations. In other words, this is teaching that every one of your thoughts, your words, and your deeds on the Sabbath must all be a part of public or private worship, or some kind of work of necessity or act of mercy. That is what it's saying is keeping the Sabbath day holy. Is that standard too high? Is that how you kept the Sabbath day today, so far? Is that how you have kept all the previous Lord's days of your life? Or do you think that the standard given here is just way too high? Do you think that this is somewhat extreme? If you say that you think it is too high, the question that you will need to answer and that I would ask you tonight is then, what are you using as your standard? By what are you going to say, well, this is a reasonable keeping of the Sabbath? What standard will you use? Did we not just read in the passages above that we should call the Sabbath a delight. I'm not going to the confession, I'm going to the Scriptures. Did we not just read, we should call the Sabbath a delight? That we should turn away from our own pleasure, idle talk, frivolous thoughts on the Sabbath? Did we not just read that the apostles called for acts of worship, acts of mercy, and were themselves at times described as being in the Spirit on the Lord's day? The problem with us is that we like to create a version of keeping the Lord's day that just happens to fit with whatever it is that we normally and naturally do on the Lord's day. Isn't that convenient? Whatever my current practice is on the Lord's day, I have somehow interpreted that's what keeping the Sabbath is. Why is it that we think that we are never in need of repentance and reformation on this commandment? And friends, I'm talking about in our circles, among Reformed people. Why is it that we do not think we are in need of repentance and reformation when it comes to this commandment? Why is it that we think that there is way too much here that God is asking of us? And that this is way too high of a standard. This actually leads to the next question that I want us to ponder this evening, and that is, and again, I blew the grammar. Does your God deserve less? Does your God deserve less than what we just saw was called for as far as Sabbath keeping is concerned? Congregation, the Sabbath is really nothing other than a call by God to us to come and commune and visit with Him. That is what He is calling for in the Sabbath. He's calling out to us, come. Spend time with me. Come and commune with me. He calls us herein to a foretaste of heaven, and He gives us a divine excuse to put everything away, even to stop our work just to spend time with Him and to have fellowship with His people. And what are we saying when we say that this is too much for God to ask of us? Do you think that He deserves, simple question, do you think that God deserves less or more of your time? How many times have you used the excuse of not having time for devotions, to read your Bible or to pray, and yet He's given you an entire day each week to catch up and to spend time with Him? If we think about it, can't we come to see that there is actually no amount of time that God calls us to be with Him that can be called too much time? How can we think in terms of spending time communing with God and say that there would ever be such a thing as too much time with God? Indeed, heaven will be an eternity with Him, and so why do we begrudge one day now? The Sabbath, and let me continue on here, the Sabbath is really a challenge to our entire faith and walk in that it shows where we are at with God. And let me challenge you all that the way that you either keep the Sabbath or do not keep the Sabbath, the way that you keep the Lord's Day holy or the way that you don't keep the Lord's Day holy, is a real indication of the state of your walk on every other day of the week. In other words, I'll put it this way. If you cannot deny yourself a few regular and mundane pleasures on this day, when everything is stacked in your favor. In other words, it's a day that God has called you to come together with His people. It's a day that you are under the means of grace that He effectually works in your life and uses to grow you in grace. It's a day when you're around a bunch of other like-minded brethren. And if you can't deny yourself a couple regular mundane pleasures on this day, what are you going to do? How do you think you will respond in the face of a real and seductive temptation late on a Friday night? Or when you're alone with that person? Or when you're with your non-Christian friends? Let me tell you straight up what's going to happen. You are going to fall, and you're going to fall hard. It isn't going to be any easier in those circumstances when you're faced with a very tempting proposal. It's not going to be easier then than it is on the Lord's Day when God is simply saying, let's just put some things aside and spend time with me. It's going to be exponentially harder to deny yourself and flee then if you have no habit of denying yourself and fleeing on the Lord's Day. But lest I would leave you despondent tonight, let me finally ask the third question of you tonight. And that question is your Savior too weak? I realize that may not be the best way to phrase the thing that I'm intending to get at here. But my concern is that we tend to view the Sabbath in a Christless way as believers. We look at the high standard and we think that is too high, that is too hard, that is too extreme. Because we are not considering the fourth commandment in Christ. The fact of the matter is you need Jesus and His righteousness for the Sabbath just as much as you need Him and His righteousness at the point of every other commandment in this list of the Ten Commandments. In other words, let me put it this way. Yes, it is too high of a standard for you to keep in your own strength. But that standard that we have just read about, that standard that's been put before us in those passages that we read and in the comments that we're reading here in the Catechism, that high standard, that impossible standard for me is precisely what Jesus kept in my place. That is precisely what He kept for you. In other words, you need Jesus as your Sabbath keeper. Another way of putting this is we do not need to lower the requirements of God in the fourth commandment. We do not need to reject the biblical high mark and try to bring it down to something that we can attain in our own strength so that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, I'm a Sabbath keeper and you're not. What we need to do when it comes to the Sabbath is we need to exalt Jesus as our representative Sabbath keeper and seek to be conformed to His image, which includes His Sabbath keeping. It's part of His righteousness. It's part of that which He did in our place and that which His Spirit is conforming us into. And that is a supernatural work of grace and sanctification. Listen, congregation, you and I break the fourth commandment every single Lord's Day. We need Jesus and His righteousness every week of our lives. We need Jesus and His righteousness throughout every Sabbath day. We need Jesus and His righteousness at the end of every Lord's Day evening. Indeed, at the end of every Lord's Day evening, we should be confessing our sin to God and seeking His forgiveness and cleansing and power to walk in new obedience. Jesus lived and died and rose again for Sabbath breakers. And He has given us His Spirit to conform us into His image and His obedience. And therefore, by His grace, we are called to strive after holiness. And as we strive and we become more sanctified in our Sabbath keeping, we are blessed with more and more communion with Him, more and more conformity to His image, more and more of a delight in our own souls to keep that day holy. The Sabbath was made for us. And there is blessing for us in our keeping of it. And so I call you tonight as a congregation, let's hold fast to the righteousness of Christ, our great Sabbath keeper. And let's heed God's voice here in the fourth commandment to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for Your love for us and the blessing, although we sometimes can't see it. The blessing of calling us aside to Yourself one whole day a week. Father, we confess that we have often not called Your holy day a delight. That we have often, because of our own selfishness, considered it a ball and chain, something that was curbing our own desires, our own wants. And so we pray that You might enable us to think differently when it comes to Your holy day. That we would not approach it in our own wisdom, thinking we know what is best for us, but that we would come to it in faith, believing that You have our good in mind when You call us to keep this day holy to You, that You desire to bless us and give Yourself to us in a greater portion on this day, that we would come to long each week to meet with You and to set this day aside. Father, we thank You for Your steadfast love and Your patience with us in our weakness and our frailty and in our sin. You have dealt kindly with us when we have robbed You of Your glory and what is Your due. And Lord, we are most thankful tonight for Jesus, the great Sabbath keeper. The one who in every one of his thoughts, words, and deeds. Every single week, indeed, every day of his life, honored you and obeyed you and walked in communion with you. Oh Lord, keep us from lowering that standard, but rather sanctify us and conform us to that attainment in Christ. Make us more like Him. We pray these things tonight in His name. Amen.